We are now out of the Gospel of Luke and now into the book of Acts, at least for a couple weeks. The book of Acts is essentially a sequel to the Gospel of Luke. It's written also by Luke, and it kind of picks up right where Acts leaves off. At this point in Acts, the early church is growing by leaps and bounds. They're exploding as the Spirit is working through the apostles and bringing the message of Jesus Christ all over the area, all through Jerusalem, all through Judea, all through Samaria. And in this passage now, we have a man who essentially represents the ends of the earth is now going to hear the gospel as well. And it's important that this man does. This man is described to us as an Ethiopian eunuch. He's returning on his way to Ethiopia from Jerusalem. He's traveling south along the coast towards Gaza. He's going to travel south through Egypt. He's going to travel further south yet through the Sudan, and then south and east into Ethiopia. He lives a world away from where the church is exploding and from where Jesus has done his ministry, but he's returning from worship there. And what we understand is at some point, somehow, this man converted to Judaism. He became a Jewish worshiper, and that's why he was in Jerusalem. But his experience as a convert to Judaism is much different than a person who would have been born into the people of God. First off, he's a foreigner. And at the time of Christ and around the first century here, foreigners, their worship, even if they converted to Judaism, was just different from everybody else's. They weren't permitted into the inner workings of the temple. In fact, there was a special part of the temple that was reserved just for them. In the Gospels, when Jesus goes and he overchanges the tables of the moneylenders, it's understood that he's doing this in the court of the Gentiles. So lowly regarded was this area of the temple that basically it was turned into a marketplace. That's the only place that this man, if he was allowed in the temple at all, could worship. He's also, as is described to us, a eunuch. And because of this, he would have been considered by Old Testament law to be blemished, to be less than whole. And so because of this also, it's possible he might not have been let into the temple whatsoever. His experience worshiping the Lord, to whom he has converted, would have been much different than everybody else's. Even as a convert, he would have been considered an outsider, a stranger, even as an outcast. And it's reasonable to think that because of all this, because of his experience, that he might not have felt worthy or even that it was available to him the fullness of God's grace. That the fullness of what God wants to give his people, even to this convert, might not have been available to him. He might have wondered or thought, I'm not worthy of all the stuff that everybody else gets to partake in. Now, you think it's possible that there's still people that might think like this. You think it's possible that there's people who still feel like, man, there's just no place for me in God's grace. That even though I've grown up in the church or live in a Christian nation, that there's just no place for me there. Do you think it's possible that people might feel like an outcast, like an outsider because of their past, because they've got something that blemishes them, that makes them feel less than whole. Do you think it's possible that people still feel like they're on the outside of God's grace? Last week, I quoted from a Casting Crowns song, and I'm going to do again the same this week, another Casting Crowns song. This song is called Who Am I? And it's a song where as you read the verses especially by themselves, you could take it in a very negative context. The first verse says this, Who am I that the Lord of all the earth would care to know my name, would care to feel my hurt? Who am I that the bright and morning star would choose to light the way for my ever-wandering heart? Later on it says, Who am I that the eyes that see my sin would look on me with love and watch me rise again? Who am I that the voice that calmed the sea would call out through the rain and calm the storm in me? And it's reasonable to think that a person could ask this question of themselves and come away with the answer, well, I'm nobody. I'm nobody. Who am I that the Lord of all the earth would care to know my name? I'm nobody. God wouldn't care. And it's reasonable to think that as this Ethiopian is leaving Israel, leaving Jerusalem, that he thinks the same thing. But this is one of the great fun passages of Acts. And in this passage, we see that God does care. That God says to this Ethiopian, and as he says to all of us, you are somebody. Just look at how God pursues this one individual. This one individual miles and miles away from the center of where the church is exploding out from. God says to his apostle Philip, hey Philip, I'm going to whisk you away by the Spirit, miles away to a deserted place. At this place, there is an individual who is riding in a chariot. I'm taking you to him. And when Philip gets there, God says, hey, go up to the chariot, talk to this guy. And what is this guy doing at this very moment? It just happens that he is reading from the prophet Isaiah. And in the prophet Isaiah, it just happens that he is reading the part that speaks about Jesus Christ and about how he suffered and died for individuals, how he took the sins of the world on himself for us. God is pursuing this man with all the tools that are available to him, and he doesn't let him go. This man is somebody to God. And it just happens that as they're going by, well, lo and behold, there's water available too. And you have the word, you have the water, and now you got a baptism. And this man is brought to faith in Jesus Christ. The Ethiopian church, by the way, connects their heritage of Christian faith to this man. That all the people in Ethiopia believe that they have come to faith because this man was pursued by God. With that same zealousness, God pursues you. You are somebody to God. The chorus of the Casting Crowns song says, it's not because of who I am, but because of what you've done. Not because of what I've done, but because of who you are. And it's summed up by this one line, you've told me who I am. I am yours. You have come to faith because God deems you His. He has claimed you and pursued you. You are worthy of God's grace, not because of you, but because God has deemed you worthy of His grace. He has chosen you to be worthy of His grace through faith in Jesus Christ. And so let us walk away knowing how worthy we are because God has made us worthy, that He has pursued us. Let us also walk away as individuals and as a church knowing that every single person down the street in this world is one whom God desperately wants to pursue. And He might want to use you to do it. Let us pray together. Oh, gracious Lord, we give you thanks for your gospel. We give you thanks for your word. We give you thanks that you have pursued us, that you have chosen us. We did not choose you. We thank you for your grace. And we ask, O Lord, that you would remind us daily who we are in you, that you've claimed us as yours and call us your children and your people. And we pray, O Lord, that in this knowledge you would affect our hearts in a way that we would bring the same good news to all those we meet. We pray this in your name. Amen.